Look, I know you're ready to get married. Y'all been dating for a while, and you just tired of giving that thing up for free. You know, you tired of fornicating, throwing that thing around, busting it loose. You tired of being outside of the will of God, or at least what you were taught was the will of God. So you think it's time for you to go stand before the altar, before the man or woman of God, and say your vows as you were taught the Bible said. Because it's better to marry than to burn. I know you're a Christian. But what if I told you everything about the requirements to get married, even in the Bible, that none of what we know now is actually in the Bible? Not a single one of them. But I bet you don't believe me, right? Oh, let's talk about it. I'll holler at y'all. All right, welcome back to Old Let's Talk About It. Before we get started, take a moment to hit that subscribe button for me, you know, so you can join in to the conversations. If you're new here, I appreciate you taking the time to stop through just to hear what I'm talking about, see what I can present to you, and hopefully you get something from it. And if you're returning to check me out again, I appreciate you. As I did last podcast and as I continue to do, you know, I want to interject some advertisements of some of the businesses that I follow, that I associate with, and that I can speak up for. So I'm going to pause right here, interject the advertisement, then I'm coming right back. So the first one on the list is Sweet and Elegant Delights. The website is www.sweetandelegantdelights.com. Now, I won't try to go all into detail to describe everything that she does with this business, but I can tell you, if you're getting married, if you got a baby shower, if you have a retirement party, a birthday party, hell, even if you're just going to pick up your birth certificate and need a cake, and I'm not just talking about no Duncan Hines, some out the store, I'm talking about cake to the highest level, then you need to contact Sweet and Elegant Delights. Now, that is not all that she does, but as I said, I don't want to begin speaking on everything she does and take away from what she does. I want you to go to the Instagram, go to the Facebook, Sweet and Elegant Delights, and you can check it out for yourself. I don't have to try to sell it to you. When you see it, that's the sale. You'll know, oh, she's about her business. The telephone number, the business number is 434-262-0138. Once again, that's Sweet and Elegant Delights. Okay, and we're back. If I didn't say before, my name is Edward Crawley Jr. This is the King Crawley Network. One of the topics I want to talk about today: why should I get married? You know, you could say it like, why should I get married? But why should I get married? What I want to do today is I want to ask some questions, and I want to present some information, and I want to allow you to come to your own conclusions. See, one thing about it, I don't have all the answers, but at least I hope to at least give you some of the questions. Sometimes we're not even asking the right questions. That's why we're not drawing the right conclusions. We don't even know the right questions to ask. We don't even know sometimes that something should be questioned. You know. So that's what I come to do today, to present some questions, to present some possibly challenging and opposing views to what you already view. You know, and what I'm talking about is marriage as we know it, especially in the Western civilization. Where did your idea of marriage come from? I can speak for myself. I grew up in a two-parent household. My father being a pastor, my mother a first lady, a missionary and everything. So I saw initially that family structure. Coming out the womb, you first learning to walk, talk, and move around before you even meet any buddies. What you see in the house is what you know as family. So whether you came from a two-parent household or one, initially what you see, that's your world. That's all you know. So that's what you're going on. So my idea of marriage came from what I saw initially in the household. Based on religion, being that, like I said, my father was a pastor, my mother the first lady, grew up Church of God in Christ. So it was definitely deep within that organization, at least in definition. I'll say that. So going based on that, okay, initially, that's where my idea of marriage came from. But then as you start to, you know, grow and move around and meet other people, whether with myself in the church, see other family members, other friends of the family, other associates, and see, okay, well, they're married too, but they don't quite do their married like my parents do their married. So now I'm left to say, well, whose married is right if they both got married under, you know, the same rules, the same law, the same Bible, the same principles? Why do the two marriages look different? What is it based on? You know? So even early, I was curious, like, my parents, from what I knew, slept in the same bed. But I would know some married couples that the wife might sleep in one room, husband might sleep in another room, but they were still together. Their marriage just looked different. So even at a young age, I was questioning, like, what is this marriage thing? Okay, so let me go to a few actual facts. Now, the marriage license has been around, you know, people been using some form of marriage for years, centuries. I saw some information that said back to the 1600s sometimes, you know, they were using like marriage licenses and stuff. When did it become legal in the United States? Marriage license, when did marriage become legal? It did not become legal until 1913. Do your Googles. I ain't just making this up. The federal government formally recognizes marriage in law for the first time with the passage of the Revenue Act of 1913. And I believe by 1929, all states had laws regarding marriage licenses. Okay, so right there, you should stop and have to rectify that. We were taught about marriage based on something that was supposedly happened centuries ago, years ago. They say Jesus was here, 2,000 years ago? So at least 2,000 years ago. What we do, what we base marriage on, in our minds, what we told ourselves, is that it's based on what was going on 2,000 years ago. But right here it said, in my Google Notes search research, that marriage did not become legal, meaning it wasn't required to have a marriage license and all that good stuff that people will chop your head off about if you speak against now. It was not legal. It wasn't made legal until 1913. Back in the 1900s. Some of us was born in the 1900s. I was born in the 1900s. How about that? So, seriously, it didn't become legal until 1913. So that should make you have to question some things. Most of you don't. But you will today. Okay, now prior to that, marriage was a private affair. It was an agreement between families that did not require the government approval at all. Couples didn't even need to get married in a church, you know. Yeah, nowadays you can go down to the clerk's office, but for the most part, most people that you know of usually have some plans, the church included in some parts of the plans of their wedding. States began requiring marriage licenses and certificates because marriages have legal ramifications affecting property, inheritance, and tax. In layman's terms, the government want their money too. Say a boss man and a boss chick get married. Well, from two families, two boss families, they link up. You know, the boy, the girl, the man, woman, they link up and get married. Now they've increased their wealth, more land, more property, more cars, more money, more investments, more children, more inheritance. And the government not getting no piece of that. They said, not on our land. You're going to give me my money. We're gonna come into some type of business agreement, because that's really what it is. Some type of arrangement where, yeah, you'll get some benefits. Y'all get to be on each other's insurance and file taxes together and put all kind of stuff together. But we going to get the biggest benefit. And if you ever try to get out, because what the government put together, let no man put asunder. And if you try to put it asunder, you're going to pay a price for that. Yep, you sure is. Yes, you is. Okay, there were no wedding vows in the Bible. I know you think I'm making this stuff up. Read it for yourself. Go in there and don't try to deepify it and take a scripture and then take another scripture and say, well, it meant this. No, there are no wedding vows in the Bible. Not any specific marriage vows. Yes, there are verses about love, verses about marriage, but no wedding vows. Marriage in the Bible was simply a man and a woman with the consent of the woman's father or guardian, allowing them to live. You know, they make the agreement to live together and try to procreate, also known as making babies. So both families had to agree. They come together, live together, start their own family. No vows, no rituals. No priest, no prayer, no license, no pronouncement, no registration. None of the things that we know now as marriage and we have dead set in our mind. If you're not doing it that way, you're against the will of God. Well, in God's book, ain't none of that in there. You got to rectify that. You got to think about that. Call me crazy, call me wrong, but I'm speaking a fact. None of these things are in the Bible, yet you defend them and stand up for them and speak for them as if they are in the Bible and biblical, and they're not. Now, let me back up. Back up. Get up off me. Get up off me. Get up off me. I'm not against marriage. I've been married twice, divorced twice. I just want good at it. Some people like basketball. They just not good at it. That don't mean they don't like basketball. Some people like to play spades. Some of y'all ain't good spades players. You'll never be on my team. But you like to play spades. So marriage was cool. I just wasn't good at it at the time. I was young. I have a better understanding of what marriage is and what marriage is not, and what I would do going forward next time, as opposed to what I did in the past, because my reasoning for doing it in the past was from the wrong place. You feel me? I'll go into that. It wasn't that I didn't love either one. I was married twice. I loved both of them. But I had the wrong information. When you've always heard or seen growing up or heard it condemned, you know, somebody ends up pregnant. Oh, that boy should marry that girl. If y'all from anywhere near me, you've heard a phrase something like that before, if you're in my age group. Man, that boy know he ought to marry that girl. I know y'all cool now. I know y'all turning up and getting drunk. I know. I know y'all forgot where y'all came from. Some people think I forgot where I came from. But if you listen to me talk, I'm so old school in some ways that it's crazy. But anyway, I got married because I thought that's what was the right way according to the belief system that I was following. Also, in one situation, we were told, y'all need to get married. And we were like, well, we believe them. We love them. They're our pastor. Maybe we do ought to get married. Just so happened both times, each one was with child, so that played a part in it too. Going back to say, I'm not saying that I wouldn't have married them. I just would have come from a different frame of knowledge and information, knowing the real why to why I married them. Because even though I knew something didn't feel right, it wasn't until years later that I'm learning information that I'm passing on to you now. That everything that I was basing my marriage on or my reason to get married wasn't even in the Bible. I know that's a hard pill to swallow. You hear my throat dry right now. I need something to drink. It's a hard pill to swallow. Hold on, I think I got to get something to drink. That's the devil. Yeah. I hope my mic is doing a good job of blocking out. I'm in Mississippi right now, you know. And I'm in a hotel. You know, I had to, you know, got me a little room just to chill or whatever. I think they're having sex next door. I hope this mic don't pick up none of that. I don't even think they married. Is they going to hell? I don't know. Fornication. For those that really do read their Bible, you can't be upset about what I'm saying. Because if you actually read your Bible, you know that, man, what this man's saying is true. And that we've just followed a narrative because everybody before us followed the narrative and everybody before them followed the narrative. So we just accepted that the narrative was true. To say marriage as we know it today, to say it is biblical, is like saying Christopher Columbus really discovered America. I'm going to let that sit there for a second. Saying that marriage the way we know it today and the way we continue to push that narrative, saying it's biblical, is like Christopher Columbus saying he really discovered America. And the crazy part is we still observe Columbus Day, even to this day. We know it ain't true, but we still observe it. Some of y'all are doing that with the marriage thing. You know some of this stuff ain't really biblical. You know ain't no God said, ain't no Jesus requested. You know ain't no Holy Ghost in fire. Ain't none of that. And like I said, I'm not against marriage. I'm against bad information. Because I can hear you. I can hear it in my inner spirit. Because people want to say, oh, he hate this. I love y'all. That's why I'm doing it. I just want you to have better information so that the next time you go into it, you'll go into it with the right information. If you're going to buy a house, you need to know certain things. Whether you're buying it for yourself or buying it to, you know, as far as investing in property, fix and flip, hold, whatever. You got to have certain information to go about the process the right way. Or else you're going to falter along the way. Look at the number of marriages that work. I went the other way with that. Because I know some people that do have great marriages. Now, they could say, well, yeah, God did. But then when I think about all the people that got divorced, including myself, so God didn't fuck with me? You don't fuck with me, God? You don't fuck with me? I'm confused. That whole favor ain't fair, but that ain't fair. If that's true, you know what I'm saying? So going back, I do know some couples that actually have a good, seemingly wholesome compatibility, and they grow together. I've seen them at different stages, and they, you know, as I heard Bishop Jakes describing one time, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, how the couple is on the motorcycle, you know, they're going in a straight line, and then as they begin to bend the curve, the person driving, they know to lean into the curve. The person on the back, they stay straight up. You know, therefore, possibly causing a situation because they didn't both lean into the curve together. I see couples out here that lean into the curve together. I respect that. I ain't going to say I envy it, but I'm like, man, damn, I wish I could have did that a little bit. But then I really believe I'm just here to make statements in certain people's lives and move on. Yeah, sometimes I don't even think I'm meant to be in a relationship for real. And chill, relax. I'm cool. What I'm saying is sometimes I believe I'm just here to make my statements or my stamp in a person's life. Hopefully it's in a good way. Sometimes it don't work out that way. And then I move on. You know, I'm a free spirit. I kind of do what I want to do for the most part. You know, I got to work and stuff, but I don't really be following people's rules because people's rules be dumb. Yeah. So, I'm not telling you not to get married. I don't want you to take that from that. I want you to think about how you define marriage and ask yourself, why do I define it this way? What is the way that I define it based on? And when I figure out what it's based on, is that based in truth? As you see, I'm getting you to dig all the way down. That's what I do with things. It's like, don't just ask questions on the surface. Ask questions until you get down to the depth of it. That's how you get to the answers. Because if you stop at one layer when there's other questions that could be asked, you're doing yourself and the people around you a disservice. It's free to ask questions. And you can only get answers by asking questions. So why not ask? And then once you come to certain information, and if that information happens to be different from the information that you previously had, and if that information actually has more substance to it, more truth to it, more facts presented, it's okay to release what you used to know and start following the newer information, more valuable information that will add more value to your life. In any other area of your life, once you realize that you were doing something wrong and then you learn the right information or the right way to do it, most times you correct it, like on a job or whatever. If you're told, I want you to do it this way, you've been doing it this way, but that ain't quite the right way to do it. This is actually how you do it. This is the information. If you want to keep that job, you would be a fool to say, I'm going to keep doing it the way I've been doing it, even though this way make more sense, is actually easier. I'm used to this because my mama did it this way, my dad and my granddad and my grandma, my great-great aunt, and my slave cousins. Everybody did it this way, so it got to be right. Just because a nugget is normal don't mean it's natural. Just because something becomes normal doesn't mean that it's the right way to do things. And we got to think about that. We got to deal with that. Because look at the way things are. Some got to be switched up. Some got to be questioned. Something got to be done different. It has to be. Things are going too much to the left to keep trying to apply the same old figurative peroxide to it for it not to heal. We're going to have to stitch it up or staple it up. We're going to have to do some other type of work to the problem before it gets worse. And so that, I just turned 43. So now I'm in that age group where the younger people are starting to look at us, even though 43 is so young. I feel great. I'm looking great. Skin is good. Drinking my water. Hair's growing. All that good stuff. But the kids will start looking at us like we're the older generation. What are we going to teach them? We're going to just keep on passing on misinformation to them? Especially when information is already present. Sometimes they might just be coming to you to figure out where you at, to verify that you really speaking the actual factuals. Because they can get to it. You know that, right? They can Google it and do their own research on stuff now. So it's best that you educate yourself as best you can, because they can. They're coming out the womb almost being able to clickety-click on these phones and tablets. They can't read, but for somehow, they know how to get the baby shark. They, too, can't read a thing, but baby shark, doop 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 doop. How you found that, though? So they already on a different level. They processing things different. They doing things different. And we can't catch up, but we need to keep up. I don't know if that made sense, but it felt good coming out. If you need to update your information, do it. Or this generation coming, they're going to have no respect for us. Simple as that. Once again, there's so much information available that it's best to begin questioning things, finding solid or more solid answers for things, and then applying it to your life. All right? Now, I ain't going to keep you going, but as I said, from here on out, relationships, religion, business. That's what we own. And I'm out. I holler at y'all. Peace.